Man, look at all these checks the preacher gave me tonight.
They might be.
You can have all them bills you want, man.
Would you like your Bible here?
Yeah, I need that. Thank you.
NIV.
It's not NIV. Look, we're in public. I can't call you a moron.
Well, you try. I can't call you idiot stick either.
Guys, he called you pastor idiot stick. What are you going to do about it? See what they are?
Well, then he gets his doctorate and he calls me on the phone and he says, I'm no longer idiot stick. I'm now doctor idiot stick. Oh, amen. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. Are you glad you're here? I'm glad I'm here this evening, too. In fact, you know, I'm sort of glad to be anywhere anymore. Amen. And I did a camp the last 3 years down in Pennsylvania around the, somewhere around the middle of July. I'd run down there, and then I just keep on going out east until I come in to September. Then I come back home, you know. So I'd be gone anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks, And so I did this camp every year for the last 3 years, and the first year I was there, I look out one night, and I was the oldest guy in the room, and there's usually a couple older people to come, but, you know, the camp director is young, the guy who owns the camp is young, and, of course, it's all teenagers. They're all young, you know, and once in a while you get a visitor or two from a church out, but I was still the oldest guy there, so my name became that, and I had 3 grandchildren there, also at the same time. So as soon as everybody started hearing them call me Grandpa, then the camp director gets up and he says, the camp grandpa's gonna preach tonight. So I became, everybody then, all week long, everybody, hello Grandpa, hello Grandpa, hello Grandpa. So I got on the phone and with her, I said, now listen, I had all the kids out here. I said, listen, I said, when I'm gonna do FaceTime with my wife and I'm gonna turn around where she, well, like this, where she can see you. So I said, I'm going to hit the camera the other way, you know, and she can see you. And I said, when you see her, just say, hi, Grandma. Grandpa said you send everybody money for their birthday. And so so they did that, and they shouted it out. And she texted me a few minutes later. She says, tell them if Grandpa gives it to me, I'll send it, you know. I was not intending that, let me tell you, so. I told the kids, I said, well, Grandpa's broke. You ain't getting a penny, amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of God. John chapter 3 with me this evening. Very familiar. Probably one of the most preached on scriptures in the Bible, Pastor. You know that? John chapter 3, verse 16. But we're not going to get quite down to 16 tonight because I want to go up to chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to ask if you do me a favor, if you'd stand as I read. I want to read verse 1 through verse 10. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through verse 10. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh, and whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Now, Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would use it tonight again speak to our hearts, Father. Help us to think on some things and cause us to dwell on your word and cause us to think about ourselves, Lord, and where we're at in our spiritual Christian life, God, that you would have all the honor and all the glory now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I'm going to take off on this Reformation or regeneration. Reformation or regeneration. You know, they say a prison is a place to be reformed. It's not true. You don't get reformed in prison. There's no such thing as being reformed in a prison. The only way you get anything is by getting regenerated, by trusting Christ as your personal Savior. Jail does not help anybody. A jail hinders many people. You know that, you realize that two-thirds of the men who get out of prison the first time go back a second time. And now that second time, 90 to 95% go back a third time, and many of them will spend the rest of their life in jail. I was a two-timer, so that means chances were I was going back for a third time. I'd never probably get out. But boy, God saved me that second time, and he did not reform me. He regenerated me, amen. And that's what he's talking to Nicodemus about in this text tonight. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews. We know that. That's what the Bible says, amen. Pharisee, a ruler amongst the Jews. Nicodemus is ruler of the Jews, who he was, one of the Pharisees. He was what they called a member of the Sanhedrin, a council of the 70 men who ran religious affairs of the nation of the nation of Israel, who had religious authority over any Jew, listen, anywhere in the world. They had authority over any Jew anywhere in the world. That council was almost entirely made up of Pharisees, the Sanhedrin. It is very important to understand who the Pharisees were. If ever there was a group which could be called religious fanatics, it was the Pharisees. Yep. By the way, I've been in many, many places around the world and around this country that I think we have some religious Pharisees.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I'll leave it right there. I'm not going to go any farther with that. I think we need to be careful, though. He says they were a select group, never more than 6,000. If they would lose one, they'd put another win. They always had 6,000, but no more than 6,000 were in the Pharisee group, who had each, one of them had taken a solemn vow before three witnesses that he would devote every moment of his entire life to obeying the Ten Commandments as a way of pleasing God. Boy, if we could just get that today for people. Well, what can we do if we just obey, if we just not added to them, just obeyed the Ten Commandments? Well, what help would that be to all of us, amen? We can't do it, but it'd be good if we could try, you know? The Pharisees took this very seriously, as you know. The Ten Commandments speak about worshiping the true God and not having idols in your heart, honoring your father, honoring your mother, refraining from lying, adultery, and various other sins. The commandments are given in rather general terms. General terms. In order to be specific, it was felt necessary to define those terms and to spell out how they apply to certain situations. Mm-hmm. So they're growing up in Israel, a group of people called the scribes. Who were members of the Pharisees.
Right.
These men spent their lives studying, not just living by, but studying the Ten Commandments and applying them to situations of life so that the Pharisees could carry out these commands and thus obey God. So in their interpretation of the commandment forbidding work on the Sabbath, for instance, the scribes decreed that any form of labor which a man engaged in to make his living was forbidden. For example, a farmer could not tether his animals with a rope during the he could tether his animals with a rope during the week, but he could not tie a knot on the Sabbath.
Isn't that something?
It was a, if a sailor tied knots in the course of his labors throughout the week, that was fine, but he could not tie a knot on the Sabbath. Knot tying was regarded as work with, of course, certain exceptions.
Yeah, that's silly.
If it was absolutely necessary to life, one could tie a knot on the Sabbath. Knots that could be tied on the Sabbath with knots that could be tied with one hand were permitted. Try tying a knot with one hand. But not one that required two hands. A woman could tie a knot because that was essential to her, to women, therefore it was permitted because she tied a knot in her, they called it a girdle, undergarment, or in her scarf. She could tie a knot. But if you got caught tying a knot, look out. The Pharisees were on you. You'd be in big trouble, you know. So that was a Pharisaical thought. And here's this Pharisee, Nicodemus. And he comes to Jesus. We're gonna hit that, amen. He comes to Jesus and by night, and he said to the rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Right.
So when Nicodemus comes, I want you to understand something. Nicodemus recognized the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, we have many Christians today that say they're saved, but they don't know the power of God.
Amen.
They don't live by the power of God.
Amen.
They don't have the power of God. They think sometimes, people think the power of God is by touching somebody on the forehead and healing them. They think that the power of God is in speaking in tongues. They think of the power of God as all these things, which has nothing to do. The power of God is to help keep you holy and right and pure with him as a child of God.
Amen.
They think all these things is the power of God. It brought this work, this recognizing this power of God, it brought conviction of Christ's work in Nicodemus' life. Look what he says. The same came by Jesus at night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man could do these things, these miracles that does not that thou doest except God be with him. We have but one record, actually one recorded miracle in this text. Because this is the only text, this is the only place in the four Gospels that you find this story.
Yeah, right.
It's not in any other Gospel. And before this Gospel, there was only one miracle. Before this, in John, there was only one miracle recorded. And that was the miracle of changing the water into wine at the case, at the wedding of feet at Canaan. So it's interesting to me, but I noticed that there must have been something else going on. Because Nicodemus says, for no man can do these plural miracles. So he saw.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicodemus did not just hear.
Yeah.
Nicodemus saw.
Right.
And that seeing brought Nicodemus under conviction. We want to see sometimes. We want to see God's miracle. We want to see God do this. And if we don't see it, we don't believe it. Let me tell you, we come by faith, not by works, not by any other way, not by seeing miracles. But Nicodemus saw something that brought him under conviction of Christ's work.
Right.
The other Gospels don't record anything about this event. It brought a consciousness of his own lack. Look what he says again, of his own lack. He says, listen, the saint came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, for no man can do these things, these miracles, except thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It brought a consciousness of his own lack. What he saw, what he felt, what he experienced, was his religion lacked power.
Yeah.
So now he's being convicted. To possess the privileges of Judaism, a man only needed to be born of the seed of Abraham. That's how he became a Jew. The seed of Abraham. After the flesh. You understand? When you became a seed of Abraham, you came after the flesh. To possess the privileges of Christ's kingdom, a man must be born again of the Holy Spirit, not the flesh. Amen. It brought about a condemnation to him. It brought condemnation to him. Look again, that the same night to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. By his secrecy of the cover of night, his heart, listen, is exposed. Isn't it true that men love darkness rather than light? Amen. Is it not true that much wickedness and sin happens under the veil of night?
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Now, we're seeing more today in the daylight than many of us ever saw when we were kids. Some of the things going on today in public, you would not have seen 70 years ago on the street corner of two people who are the same sex kissing each other. You would not have seen that 70 years ago. You see it today. That stuff used to be done in night, in darkness. But he's coming to Jesus at night, and wickedness is the sins is covered by the veil of night. By his coming to Jesus by night, he condemned himself. As Jesus speaks of a new birth, he says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He announces the same truth again in order to make it more plain to the hearer's mind. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. By this expression, he meant Nicodemus to understand that no one can become his disciple unless his inward man was thoroughly cleansed and renewed by the Spirit of God, as the outward man is cleansed by water. Is that the only way? Now, I just always believe, brother, and I still do hold to the fact that, and I don't know where you hold, and that's fine, it doesn't matter to me, but when he said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I believe that was a fleshly birth and the spiritual birth. Because he says in the very next verse, I think he explains it in the next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. So I think he explains verse 5 in verse 6. Many people disagree with that, but how can you get around it? I don't know, brother. I mean, you know.
Born twice, die once.
That's right. Or born once, to die twice. Amen.
Yeah.
I've said that for years,
yeah,
you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus wants to know how this happens. What brings this about? What causes this? So Nicodemus now reasons from a physical perspective, but not a spiritual perspective. Nicodemus hears this, right? And Nicodemus is listening to the things of the Lord after the Lord says, marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. The wind bloweth. Well, in fact, before that, if we go back up, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is the flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh, but and whether it goeth, is so is every man or every one that is born of the Spirit. Now watch this. Nicodemus is still stuck on you must be born again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now he says, How can these things be? He missed everything else in there. His mind now is going back. Now, how can you enter into your mother's womb? He's missing the whole picture. And I tell you what, you read the Word of God sometimes and you miss the whole picture. Why? Because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. You received the Spirit of God at the moment of salvation, but you need to be living in the Spirit of God, need to be in the Word because of the Spirit of God, need to be in prayer with the Spirit of God, that God might teach you and show you and move in your heart as a believer in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we are no better than Nicodemus. And we go on and say, how can this be? How can this happen? How can God mean this? How can God promise this? I want to tell you what, my friend, God is God. You can't get around it. Amen? The physical nature of a man is described as this, Romans 9:8, they are flesh, that is, they which are of the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Very simple. Child of flesh is not the child of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That's those who have been born again, those who are Abraham's seed, those, that's who he's talking about there. They are dead, 1 Peter 4:6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to the God, to God in the Spirit, 1 Peter 4:6. So he said, listen, they were dead, and the gospel has to be preached to them that they might be judged according to men, the flesh, but living according to God, how? In the Spirit. They will not enter the kingdom of God, those who are not saved. They can't enter. They're in the flesh. They can't enter into the heavenly places. They can't enter into God's kingdom. You die, you can't enter. You know where you die? You're going to enter into hell, not into eternal life, not into heaven, not into the heavenly portal. You're going to die and go through the hellish portal. You cannot listen, my friend. God's mercy is extended to you that you might put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And call upon him.
Amen.
His mercy is such to you that it does not stop at your salvation.
Right. Thank God.
His mercy continues on day by day by day by day. And every day he has something for you. So you say, Brother Mike, I read my Bible and I don't get nothing. You haven't read enough. Keep reading. Read until God gives you something. Just read. Read and study. Look at the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. These will not enter the kingdom. Any religious efforts are works of the flesh. The Pharisees thought, you obey the Ten Commandments, you're going to be okay. You obey this law, don't tie a knot. You obey. There's a whole bunch more that they rules and stipulations they put over Israel. I just think those two are funny. That's why I mentioned them, you know. But they put so many more stipulations over Israel through the Ten Commandments. But obeying the Ten Commandments can't get you into heaven. They thought obeying all these laws would make them holy and pure and right and right with God so that if they died, they could enter the kingdom of God. Those rules did nothing for them. Jesus told them, you're white as sepulchres on the outside, but your inside is full of dead men's bones. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done.
Right, praise God.
Amen. Not by what you've done.
Praise God.
Let me throw something at you, and that, don't call me a heretic, just listen to me. Let me throw something at you about that real quick. If you think your prayer is what saved you,
go ahead, preacher.
You better be careful.
Right.
Because you're putting it in something that you've done, but not what God has done. You know what a prayer is doing? Your prayer of salvation is you acknowledging to God that you were a sinner. He brought that your way that you might know that. Amen.
Right, amen.
He put that in your heart that you might put your faith and trust in him. Could a man just believe? Absolutely. A man can just believe. If he believes that he's wicked and ungodly and impure and unholy and unrighteous and not right with God and not doing right and not living right and his life stinks like the devil's in eternal damnation, he's wicked and he's ungodly. And if he says, well, I believe there's a God, that's not getting him into heaven. That don't get you in it. What gets you into heaven when you believe that God is right and you are wrong, you put your faith and your trust in him, calling upon his name to forgive you for your sin, that you might have eternal life. But that salvation is not in that prayer. Phew! Makes you think, don't you, brother? And I'm a whosoever will may come. You see, the change which the Lord declares needful for salvation is not a minor or superficial one. It is not merely reformation or amendment or moral change or an outward alteration of life.
Right.
That's what we like to think.
Right.
People think if I clean myself up and I start going to church, start giving my money, start tithing, give a little bit of an offering, give to missions, whatever, I'm going to be fine because I'm doing all these things. No.
Yeah.
Then you're putting in outward works. It is a thorough change of the heart, the will, and the character of man.
Amen.
You know what your character is determined by? Not what you do when you're with other people. It's determined by what you do when you're by yourself. That's how your character is judged. It is a resurrection. It is a new creation. It is a passing from death to life. It is the implanting in our dead hearts of a new principle from above. It is the calling into existence of a new creature with a new nature, new habits, new life, new tastes, new desires, new appetites, new judgments, new opinions, new hopes, and new fears. Sometimes we do have some fears. All this and nothing less than this is implied when your Lord declares that we need a new birth.
Yeah. Amen.
This change of heart is rendered absolutely necessary to salvation by the corrupt condition in which we all live.
Yeah.
Without exception, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Our nature is thoroughly fallen. The carnal mind is enmity against God. In Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The flesh of man is not subject to the law of God. Can't be. Doesn't know God, doesn't care about God, doesn't understand anything about God. You cannot be saved, try to obey the Ten Commandments all you want. I remember when I was in fourth grade, our teacher used to get up, I can't remember which one it was, get up in the morning, in the morning of class, first thing in the morning, and we'd have to stand, and we'd have to put our hands over our heart, and we'd have to say Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America.
Yeah.
And when we weren't done there, we had to bow our hands and fold our hands in front of us, and then we repeated the Lord's Prayer every day. That did not save me, but we were taught something. And I remember a teacher going through the Ten Commandments one time in school.
Yeah. Used to happen.
It didn't help me because I just disobeyed him anyway. I'm just simply saying, things have changed. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
Taking a school of the teaching from preachers to the teaching of a wicked system.
Yeah.
And we do have a wicked system in school today.
Yeah.
I just read Tennessee, just this week, passed a law that teachers can carry sidearms into their classrooms now. It's sad that our country has gone that far. That a teacher has to feel to protect themselves by carrying sidearms. And I'm not against that law, by the way. Amen. I'm waiting for the law when they'll let an ex-convict carry a firearm.
Amen.
I would not revert back to the old man, let me tell you.
Amen.
Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is subject, not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed be. Then Nicodemus regarded Jesus' answer as impossible. As impossible. Look what he says again, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You know, when you begin to question God through his word, you begin to question God about things he brings your way, you begin to question God about what he wants you to do, you're saying it's impossible. God can't do that. It's impossible. No. You heard me say this many times, nor your pastor has too. God will never ask you to do anything that he tells you to do. He will not ask you to do anything that you cannot do. He will make it possible for you to accomplish everything that he asks you all the time. If he asks you to do it, he'll make the way. He asks you to tithe, he'll make the way. In fact, he tells you to tithe. He asks you to give so much submissions, guess what? You make your way. You heard me say last night, don't base your missions giving on your budget, but base your budget around your missions giving.
That's a good point, preacher.
Amen. Nicodemus regarded Jesus' answer as being impossible. How can these things be? This change in your life, this change in a man's life, listen, will never be forgotten. Remember the day you got saved? You never forget it. If you can't remember a day you got saved, my friend, I don't want to be bearer of bad news, but I think that maybe you need to think about getting saved.
Amen.
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 Amen. If you can't remember a day you got saved, I think maybe you need to be thinking about you need to be saved. Because if you got saved, and you'll be able to know, you might not remember the exact day. You might not remember the exact year. Probably you will sometime around that time. My wife doesn't. My wife just knows when she was a little girl that she heard her Sunday school lesson or vacation Bible school lesson, I can't remember which, about salvation and about hell. And she went home. She said, I was playing with my dollhouse upstairs in my room. And she said, I was under conviction and I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me and to save me because I didn't want to go to hell. Hallelujah, I'm glad. And she remembers that day. She don't remember what day it was or what year it was or even how old she was, but she remembers that day. Do you remember the day you got saved? Amen?
Yes, sir.
If you don't, you better consider it because you're in sad shape if you don't. This is something you'll never forget, for we cannot give it to ourselves, but we get it from the Lord. The very name which our Lord gives us to it is a proof of this. He calls it a birth. No man is the author of his own existence.
Amen.
And no man can quicken his own soul. That means make alive his own soul. You can't do it. You can't quicken your own. Could not create yourself, and you can't make yourself alive. You're dead in sin. But you can be alive in Christ. We do not expect a dead man to give himself life. You ever go to a funeral? You ever see anybody take a breath and set up out of a coffin?
No.
I ain't seen it yet.
Haven't yet.
Amen. Well, I've heard years ago that some people who had been buried alive, they found scratches in the side of the coffin. I thought, man, what a terrible way to go. When I go, cut my throat. Man, I want to make sure I'm dead. Amen. Don't quick. If you're going to do an autopsy, throw me on a table and get into it quick. I don't want to come back alive. I'm in heaven, amen. Leave me go.
Amen.
My daughter, when she was, even 12 years ago, she was 35, 34, I don't know, somewhere around that age, and she got real sick and went into heart failure. And they had her in the hospital in Ohio. They had her at Mercy Hospital in Canton, Ohio, and they rushed her up to Cleveland Clinic. And in Cleveland Clinic, she's laying in the bed in the room, and she's talking to a friend of hers, and she says, I think I'm passing out. And she dropped the phone on the floor, the nurses and the doctors come running into the room. Her heart quit. So they opened her up, and they didn't cut her open. They just opened her stuff up and got the paddles out, nothing. It charged them up again, brought her back, you know. My son-in-law is standing there with her afterwards, and he says, "Well, honey," he says, "did you see Jesus?" She says, "No." He says, "That might be a bad thing." Amen. Well, guess what? She wasn't dead yet. Amen. It wasn't long enough. I think if she would have been, she would have saw Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And I think he would have taken her home. But boy, I tell you, that was quite an experience for a young lady like that. Now her heart functions at 68, athletic, brother, 68%. Can you beat that? Squeezing, 68%, man. What a, that's over twice mine. That's pretty good. No man can quicken his own soul. We do not expect a dead man to give himself life. So expect a natural man to make himself spiritual? Can't happen. Can't happen. A power from above must be put in exercise, even that same power which, listen, that same power which created the world. For God, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts. Creation, God. Creation, God. Creation, salvation. To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Creation, salvation. Look at God, God. Look at Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Look at the Holy Spirit. Look at here, the Holy Spirit. All three involved in creation, all three involved in your salvation. Amen. And by the way, all three are involved in your eternal security.
Amen.
You're in the hand of the Son, in the hand of the Father. In Ephesians in chapter 4, he says, you're sealed there with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. All three involved in your eternal security.
Amen.
He's involved from creation to salvation to eternal security. All the way through, my friend, I want to tell you what a God we have. Amen.
Amen.
Man can do many things, but he cannot give life either to himself or even to others. You cannot give somebody else life. And somebody, I've heard some guys say, "Well, I've raised somebody from dead. I've done this, and I've heard all these testimonies." Now, man, let me tell you, they weren't dead. It's not happening like that today. I don't care what anybody says. You won't see it today. We need to get back to the Bible, amen.
Yeah.
Many of those things that were done before the Word of God was complete. The Word of God, guess what, is now complete. We don't need any other miracles. We have the miracle of Jesus Christ. We have the miracle of a saved soul. We have the miracle of a new life. And people ought to see that miracle in you that they might want what you have as a child of God. Our Lord declares that we need to be born, as they would say in the 70s, born again. I may remember that, 60s and 70s, you need to be born again.
Amen.
That ED on the end did not hurt me, amen. Because born Ed was born. Amen. This mighty change we must above all remember is a thing that we cannot, without, we cannot go to heaven. Without this change. Without this new life. You cannot enjoy heaven if we went there. If you could get into heaven without the new life, you wouldn't enjoy it. Why? Because everything there is holy. Guess what? And you stink. Everything there is clean. I can't wait to smell the sweetness of heaven. Amen. As in New Guinea, when I went to New Guinea, you step off that plane, woo! I want to tell you what, everything smells like body odor, everything tastes like body odor. You open up a can of Coke, and I did, and you take a sip, it tastes like everything. I mean, you wouldn't believe the smell, brother. If you've never been to a foreign field and you go, they tell me the same thing in India, they tell me the same thing in In places in India, the same thing in Papua New Guinea, the same. Many places you go, Peru, many places you go, you get that smell in your nostrils. And Myanmar, I had a friend that was just in Myanmar. He was telling me the same thing, that the smell, you'll get used to it after a while. But after 3.5 weeks, can I tell you, I still wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
It makes you preach fast, though, because you want to get out of the room. All right, just kidding. Our Lord's words on this point are distinct and expressive. In other words, what Jesus is saying, except a man be born again, except he be born again, he can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. Heaven may be reached, cannot be reached, may not be reached without money. I mean, heaven may be reached without money, rank, or learning, but it is clear as daylight, if the words have any meaning, that nobody can enter heaven without a new birth.
Amen.
Now, new birth. And Nicodemus, I don't know if he ever got it, if he ever understood it. Is there any other place the scripture talks about Nicodemus, brother? Yeah, I don't know. Is there? Yeah. What's it say about him? Do you know? You remember?
He and Joseph of Arimathea.
Yep.
Put the body down and wrapped.
There you go. So guess what I think? Maybe he finally got the message when Jesus was on the cross.
I definitely know he got the message when the dead bodies come up out of the grave.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. How can a man be born again? Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, what an example. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, I don't know where you're at in your Christian life, but I'd like to understand this. Without salvation, you cannot get into the kingdom of God. And if you are saved, there's something that God expects out of you, and it's not obeying rule after rule or adding on to the word of God or anything else. It's simply by obeying the very truth of the word of God. We need to get back in this book. We need to dig. We need to see. We need to look. We need to love. We need to learn. It's only from being in this book that that will happen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let me just ask you two simple questions tonight. Well, number one, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked him to forgive you for your sin, and you believed by faith what he's done for you, and you called upon his name? Is there anybody in here tonight who would say, Mike, I've not done that. I've not done that. Maybe you say, Mike, I don't remember the day I got saved. Somebody just told me I was. Well, my friend, don't go by what somebody tells you. You go on by what you know, by what you've done, because you put your faith and trust in Christ. Anybody like that tonight, slip up your hand and say, Mike, that's me. I'm not sure. I don't remember anybody at all. I don't see any hands. Second question is this. Mike, would you pray for me? There was something in that message that the Lord used to speak to my heart tonight. Can I pray for you? How about it? Just raise up your hands. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see your hands. Father, God bless you, brother. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the night. Lord, I know I do a terrible job sometimes preaching. But God, I just ask that you forgive me for any lack of things that I've missed. And Lord, maybe I rabbit trail sometimes, God. Father, I pray that this message, though, was taken in the spirit with which it was given, Lord. Father, I ask that you'd have the honor and the glory, Father, and that you'd be magnified upon high. Help these folks tonight, Lord, to raise their hand, God. Be with them at this moment. Strengthen them. Lead them. Guide them. That you might have all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you slip out and come right now to the altar tonight. Come, you just slip out and come. Lord spoke to your heart. Come on.
God's dealt with your heart. Come on, do business with God. Don't wait till you get home. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure, without a doubt. Salvation through Jesus Christ is by grace through faith, and it is a no-so salvation. If you don't know for sure, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe, believer, you're praying for somebody. Won't you just come bring their name before the throne? Maybe right where you're at. Ask the Lord to help them. I got a couple names on my heart. Got a couple names on my heart right now, folks that need to be saved. Folks that need help that are saved. God deals with your heart. Come on, Christian.
Amen.
No one comes the next few moments with an invitation. God's dealing with your heart. Come on, Christian. Amen. Still one praying, so must mean you need to be praying yourself. How about it tonight, Christian? God's dealing with your heart. Kind of like that feller laying by that pool. Somebody come along to help him, and he refused help. 38 years, I wonder if he even considered asking God for help. God's dealing with your heart. Let him. Don't go home. Don't go home the same. Walk out of here different than when you walked in. Amen. If you look this way, have a seat a second. Go ahead, have a seat. One's still a praying. Brother Mike, you know where I have to be careful of?